I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
To a very special Purple Insider, Matthew Collar, and joining me, the biggest Chicago Bears fan I know, Rami Makhlouf, for some hot routes. What's up, Rami?
I am ready to go. I know all the hot routes. I got the entire route tree memorized. You just give me a little signal, Collar, and I am ready to go, as always, my friend. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am good. I was going to say, well, what, you know, people probably haven't heard us together in a little while. So just let everyone know that you're doing okay and how nervous you are for Bears Vikings.
I'm well. I've been doing really well. As you know, we were just talking about it before you start hit record there. I'm sort of auditioning for my dream job in Chicago. So fingers crossed, and so far so good with that. And other than that, just trying to keep myself busy, man, while I'm unemployed. So there, I'm doing well. I'm not that nervous about Bears and Vikings. I was talking to our old friend Ross Brendel last night on his own. Are we allowed to mention other podcasts?
Oh, sure, yeah.
On here?
Ross,
I know
is
you're
great.
Very,
yeah.
You're very petty, and I don't want to take
extremely.
So I told Ross yesterday that just on the law of probabilities, like, the Bears aren't a great football team, but I don't think they're bad enough a football team that they should lose four games in a row, and the Vikings aren't a terrible football team, but I don't think good enough a football team that they should be winning three games in a row. So I'm just playing the laws of probability here and thinking that the Bears should win. It's going to be ugly and it'll probably be close because that's how the Bears usually win. But I'm feeling pretty good that the Bears get a win on Monday.
It's really the only way that the Bears can win at this moment, but we'll get into some of that. And all I have to say, and this is an inside joke, but to Ross Brendel, tell him to stick to jazz. Okay. Tell him to stick to jazz. Leave sports to the Purple Insider podcast. All right. Well, let's get right into it. It's been a while since we've done a hot routes. I think we had an off-season version, and really, like, even since there's been so much Vikings news, the show has not had as many opportunities for hot routes. So let's get right into it.
There's news in the NFL today, and it's time to break it down in the only way we know how. Hot Route style.
Earl! Johnny!
With our spin on football headlines with a mix of frozen tundras.
Let's be a cold weather team.
Neck rolls.
I do boom!
And grass-stained jerseys.
The good old-fashioned guts was probably the biggest difference in the game.
First question is very insulting to your Chicago Bears fandom. That was my intent. Here's the question. Pick one of these Bears quarterbacks to lead a potential game-winning drive. All right? Jim Harbaugh, Eric Kramer, Shane Matthews, Josh McCown, Kyle Orton, or Rex Grossman. Which one of those Bears quarterbacks would you pick if you had to lead a game-winning drive to beat the Vikings, Rami?
I hate you so much for this question. I almost canceled this appearance simply because of this question when I first read it. And how dare you leave the greatest Bears quarterback of all time off this list?
Intentionally.
Jay Cutler.
Yes, so I did that intentionally.
So here was my thought process going over this. The best quarterback on this list, is in terms of their time with the Chicago Bears, is Eric Kramer. I think we've talked about Eric Kramer before. Mm-hmm. And statistically, he may have been the greatest Chicago Bears quarterback ever. I still think from a tools, skills, talent standpoint, it's Jay Cutler. But statistically, the seasons that Eric Kramer put up were really, I mean, they jump off the page at you when you look at the history of Bears quarterbacks. He's the best quarterback on this list. But I don't remember a lot of comeback game-winning drives in the waning moments of the fourth quarter from Eric Kramer. So I was looking at this list as far as who has that magic touch in crunch time. And Rex Grossman had a few comebacks, but those are mostly fueled by the defense and big returns by Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. Josh McCown has a little bit of clutch in him. But and Jim Harbaugh has a little bit of clutch in him for sure. But I think the guy who I seem to have the most recollection of really leading some fourth quarter drives, some long fourth quarter drives for game winning touchdowns was Kyle Orton. And he also probably, outside of Eric Kramer, has the biggest arm on this list. So if you need to get chunk yardage from one of these terrible, terrible quarterbacks who you're forcing me to pick from, I'm probably going with Kyle Orton for the flair of the dramatic and the big arm.
Okay. It's also sad when you say like going for the arm talent of Kyle Orton. Okay. So statistically speaking, you do not have the right answer.
I don't.
No, okay. You don't. I have all the right. Chicago Bears historic fourth quarter comebacks and game winning drives. So let's just go by game winning drives. Of course, your guy, the quarterback that I've never met anyone who's overrated more in his life, Jay Cutler, is number one all time by a lot in game winning drives. Number two is Jim Harbaugh, who had nine in 65 total decisions. So 35 of his wins included a fourth quarter comeback. Jim McMahon naturally is after that. Then your guy, Eric Kramer, out of his 18 wins, one out of every three included fourth quarter comeback. By the way, this is really funny. Mitch Trubisky actually is sixth all time in Chicago Bears game winning drives, which is super funny. Now, I didn't give you Mike Tomczak, but he had six. Rex Grossman had
six. I would have took Tomczak for sure if you gave me Tomczak.
Now, the highest concentration of fourth quarter comebacks to wins is Jim Miller, who had six out of his 15 wins, and Kyle Orton, the guy you wrongly picked, had only three. Three game winning.
Why do I feel like Kyle Orton was doing this every week? I was just going on recall. You know, I don't do research, Collar.
I knew that you wouldn't. So that's why I love the question, that you wouldn't come with the statistical backing on it. I just find it hilarious that Mitch Trubisky is one of the best all time in terms of fourth quarter.
That's the only reason you asked this question, was to point out that. God, I hate you. All right.
Can I ask you a side question here?
Sure.
What do you think becomes of Mitchell? What do you think becomes of Trubisky? Like, what's his career? Does he have the EJ Manuel career where he goes and is a backup and then they don't even really want to stick with him and that's kind of it? Does he someday get another chance? Does he Ryan Tannehill this thing or Rich Gannon this thing? Like, what's Mitch Trubisky's career trajectory?
I think if the right coach gets their hands on him. Now, Tannehill was in the running for an MVP last year. Rich Gannon, if I'm not mistaken, again, I don't do research, he won an MVP, did he not?
He did, yes, he did.
I don't know if Trubisky will ever be that good, but I do think there is more juice to squeeze out of that lemon. And I think he's at least good enough to stick on a roster for like one more contract and be a backup and a dependable backup and a guy who comes in and gives you a chance and maybe even wins a starting job somewhere down the line. I don't think he'll ever be as good as Tannehill or Gannon, but I think there's more to get out of that guy. And I think there will be another chapter in the Mitchell Trubisky story, wherever that may be.
What percentage do you assign from Mitch Trubisky's failure to Mitch Trubisky just being bad at throwing a football and to Matt Nagy for running the same offense all the time? And I'll give you a very interesting stat that Nick Foles, his quarterback rating when running play action is gets one of the biggest boosts of any quarterback in the league versus not play action, and yet runs play action about the least of anyone in the NFL. And this was the same thing with Trubisky last year, where they just refused, as the whole league is running play action, to ever really do that. And it just seems like it was kind of one year where everyone was a little surprised by the things they did, and then they just thought that that would keep up in the Chip Kelly effect with Matt Nagy. But I also think that Trubisky just throws the ball over people and misses them on easy throws. So like, what percentage do you assign?
I would say Nagy owns at least 40% of the blame for why Mitchell Trubisky you haven't gotten the most out of him. You're right. He can't read defenses. He's not that accurate of a deep passer, but at the same time, like, dude, you were hired to come in and mold this raw lump of clay that was Mitchell Trubisky. He had 12 starts in college, Collar. It's not like Nagy came in and had a finished product that he knew what he was working with. Ryan Pace and the Bears had to have looked at Matt Nagy and said, look, this guy is really raw, but he's got these abilities, X, Y, and Z abilities. and he struggles in X, Y, and Z areas. So we need you to get the most out of him and mold him into the best quarterback that he can be. And Matt Nagy never did that and never did the things to get the most out of him. You mentioned play action, but also just let the dude run with the football more. Mm-hmm. And last year he had a shoulder injury, and I thought, well, maybe they're just protecting him, and that's why it was his non-throwing shoulder, but still, that's something that could keep you out long-term if it gets worse. So I thought maybe they're protecting him, and that's why you're not seeing Mitchell Trubisky run with the football very much. But he came in 100% healthy this year, and in those first three games, we didn't see Mitchell Trubisky run the football that much. So, and Matt Nagy has a track record of not getting the most out of guys, out of players not hitting ceilings in his offense. Last week, I was listening to the station I've done a few hits on, 670 The Score in Chicago, and Tom Thayer, borderline Hall of Fame offensive lineman from those 80s Bears teams, and he's been the color commentator for like going on two decades now on Bears radio. He said he thinks David Montgomery has the abilities to be one of the top running backs in this league, but we're not seeing the best version of David Montgomery because of the supporting cast and because of the offense that he's playing in. So mm-hmm. you got Montgomery, Tariq Cohen. I mean, you can go down the list of guys who maybe aren't great offensive players, but should certainly be a lot better. And you just don't get the most out of him in Matt Nagy's system and Matt Nagy's play calling.
Matt Nagy, as we speak, is calling another run out of the shotgun right into the guard. It's just over and over and over. It's just like the Texans. It's like some of the teams are so lacking in inventiveness. This is where you have to give the Vikings credit, that they are an inventive run team that is very multiple. They've got power schemes and zone schemes and all these different things to highlight Dalvin Cook, where it seems like Matt Nagy doesn't even show up for the run game meetings on a weekly basis. Let's get to our next question here. Because, of course, you hosted in Minnesota, you are very familiar with the stylings on national television, specifically Monday Night Football, of Kirk Cousins. You got to analyze post-game several of his Monday night shortcomings. So tell me, is his 0-9 Monday Night Football record career-wise, is that a thing that you believe in? Is he haunted? Is he cursed? Is there something to it? Or is this just a bout with randomness for Kirk Cousins?
I don't believe in I can't say I don't entirely believe in like cosmic forces and curses and things. There are things beyond our understanding, Kyler, all right? There are things beyond our understanding, but I don't think that they really dabble in sports. I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, but I never believed that the organization was cursed. I thought their curse was Tribune ownership, and when they sold the team to people who actually gave a damn and wanted to win, and those people hired people who knew what they were doing, surprise, the Cubs were pretty consistently a good baseball team and won a World Series. So that's crazy. I don't think that the dark forces are working against Kirk Cousins. I don't think that that's going on. But I do think that there is something to human nature and how that plays in the results of professional sports, namely Kirk Cousins and football games. And some people just tighten up on a big stage. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And some people will hear the narrative that they've tightened up on the stage a few times already, and then they tighten up that much more. And I think that there might be something to that when it comes to Kirk Cousins, something between the ears. You can call it a curse if you want. You can call it the yips. Call it whatever you want. But I do think that there is something that holds Kirk Cousins back from being the best quarterback that he can be on Monday night. But he sure didn't shy away from the stage and the spotlight in the clip I saw of him on Twitter yesterday as the lead singer in an a cappella group, which ruined my entire night, Matthew Collar. I don't know if you've seen this clip, but it literally ruined my entire night. What was that? Where is that from, and why?
I don't know where it's from. It looks like high school or early college, maybe. But, you know, I just thought it was – that's Kirk for you. Like, Kirk is not – gonna be in a competition for lifting pickup trucks or something. Like, he's just not gonna
it didn't surprise you that he's Andy Bernard from The Office.
it didn't. Okay, I mean, that's right. That is who Kirk Cousins is. I mean, he is not going to ever be mistaken with a badass, right? So it didn't surprise me, but I do support the arts. So if you are singing an a cappella group, good for you. Like, do
you think that if his backup singers like miss a note or a beat, he just completely falls apart?
Starts to like point and tell them how to do it, like right points to the sheet music. I see that was a C sharp and you had a C.
No, but going back to the Monday night thing, I think it's mostly between his ears. You know, yesterday I was watching Hugh Grant on the Stephen Colbert show. And after being an actor and a very successful actor for like 20 years, he suddenly one night was working on Broadway and got stage fright. Hmm. And just completely froze up, and it like stopped his entire career in its tracks. So there are like mental glitches and stuff, man, that we don't always have complete control over. And I think there is something to the big stage and the spotlight of Monday night when it comes to Kirk Cousins.
So I looked into this a couple of years ago, and you're not surprised by that, and ran all the numbers and looked at all the PFF grades and looked back at all the games that he lost. I went with just prime time, and I couldn't find a huge discrepancy in the numbers between what he usually does. What I found is they usually play good teams. If you're going to be on national TV, that you usually end up are going up against somebody good. And if you think about the game on, maybe it wasn't a Monday night, maybe it was a Sunday night football against the Rams, the Bears in 2018, that he did not play well at all, but the Bears defense was number one in the league that year.
Right.
And they were really good, and they were carrying that team to being, you know, a competitor for the NFC North. So, you know, you go into a big game like that, that's who you're going to play. And I was going to bring up what the reason my brain said Rams, talk about glitches, was the Thursday night football game he played against the Rams, where he was absolutely terrific, showed no signs of being nervous or anything else like that. 2018, he also beat the Packers on national TV. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's any particular glitch. If I had to guess one thing, if you're a little bit a person who designs out their week like Kirk Cousins does by 10-minute segments, as there was a story about him, I do wonder if Monday throws things off. Like, if there's some sort of here's how my week is designed all the time, kind of like daylight savings time, there's more car accidents after daylight savings time because everyone's brain just gets like thrown off. I don't know if that's an excuse, but he hasn't played so significantly worse on Monday that I would say it's anything except for his team usually wasn't the better team. And that usually in his career, when he's playing against a team that's better, he does not come out the winner.
I don't plan out my week in 10-minute increments.
No,
but I'm very, very routine oriented, and you throw me off my routine just a little bit and it can mess me up, Collar. And I remember jumping sports here for a second. Giannis, when he had some struggles when they first entered the bubble, they were playing a lot of afternoon games, and Giannis came out and said, he was like, look, I'm used to playing basketball at like 7-8 o'clock at night. There's like a time I wake up, there's a time I eat, there's a time I work out, you know what I mean? And like, there's a rhythm to your day that you just get used to before stepping out onto the court or onto the field. And I think that getting sort of pushed out of that rhythm can have a real effect on people, for sure.
Want to remind you to go to sodastick.com to get your original Minnesota sports inspired goods. For all of you hunters out there, SodaStick has some very cool hunting gear available that you need to check out, including their Mick Golden Light hunting club hats that our pal Jeremiah Searles has been wearing lately on his excursions. All their apparel is screen printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies. You will love it. We're going to also hook you up with free shipping on your next order. Use the promo code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping. That is SodaStick, SOTASTICK.com. Original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping. And not an excuse if he doesn't play well, but more of some people might be impacted more than others. Maybe that's what happens to him, or maybe not. And he'll throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. It could just be the randomness gods. If you think about it, this is a total aside, but there was a study about flipping coins. They had people imagine that they were flipping a coin and writing down the results and then actually do it. And the biggest difference was the people never imagined the randomness. Like they would actually flip, you know, 15 heads in a row, and they never would have imagined that could happen, but it's so random that it will even out 50-50 over a long period of time, but in a short period of time, like nine games, it could go the wrong direction. Anyway, let's move on to the next question. So the Bears quarterback position, I seem to want to keep going back to this. I don't know why.
I can't imagine why. I cannot imagine why you would.
Maybe it was random. Maybe just showed totally up. Random, I picked from all sure. the positions and quarterback kept coming up. Do they regret having not signed Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater, and who's playing quarterback for the Bears in 2021?
Cam Newton, I don't think so. Going back to what we were talking about with Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Nagy has a very specific idea in his mind of what he wants his offense to look like and the role that he wants his quarterbacks to play in those offenses. And I don't think a guy like Cam Newton is what he has in mind. I think Cam Newton is the most talented quarterback that was available on the market this past offseason. I just don't trust him in the hands of Matt Nagy. That's why I say no there. Teddy Bridgewater, who I think you would probably remember this better than I would, Collar. There was a few hours there where yes. it was being reported that Teddy Bridgewater was in agreement on a contract with the Bears. And, you know, I always sort of poked Vikings fans for their love of Teddy Bridgewater and called him a mediocre average quarterback. And he's played above that this year, but I still don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. And honestly, when I look at what Matt Nagy wants to do in an offense and wants from his quarterback, I feel like Teddy Bridgewater might have been the perfect fit and would have been a great locker room fit too, and a guy who actually could have provided some steadiness and some leadership from the quarterback position that they kind of need right now. So as much as I knocked Teddy Bridgewater in the past when I was working in Minnesota, I do think he's probably the guy who would have been the right fit for this Bears offense and for Matt Nagy.
It would have been a lot like his 2015 situation where the offensive line is abysmal, which Chicago's is. How about Chicago's O-line being worse than the Vikings at this moment? And so he would have had to get the ball out quickly. He would have had to use some of his escapability at times, which he's really shown this year in Carolina, has sort of bounced back, and maybe even it's better than it was in 2015, and just not make big mistakes, try to play the defensive game. That's right. A hard, tightrope to walk, but Teddy is one of the quarterbacks who can do it. And the way that I always explained Teddy to you was he's a lot like Jim McMahon, where he will kind of give you some, some frustrating moments where he's not throwing the ball down the field like you want, but he also doesn't turn the ball over. He knows how to win defensive battles, that sort of thing. And I think he would have been perfect for Chicago. Carolina is a bad football team, and yet he's had them in a lot of games, including against Kansas City, but they can't stop anybody on defense. Him with a good defensive team would have probably won a couple of more games than they've won so far this year. Now, who's the quarterback in 2021?
For a second, I stopped listening there after you said you compared him to Jim McMahon, because I was just picturing Teddy Bridgewater with like a spiky mullet and a white headband and sunglasses.
That's a Photoshop somewhere.
Who's playing quarterback in 2021? Most likely, you're going to have like a middle-of-the-road journeyman QB. Maybe even Nick Foles back for another round. They'll sell us that, you know, he'll have a full off season under his belt, and he and Nagy can work together, and it's going to be much better and look better this time around. I won't buy it, but that's how they'll try and sell it. So I think it'll probably be a journeyman, middle of the road, Nick Folesy type of QB, and or a rookie that they draft this year in the first three rounds. And you start with the journeyman, eventually hand it off to the rookie, like we saw a few years ago with Glennon and Trubisky, is sort of a replay of that. But I don't know if you heard this, Collar. Jerry Jones is at it again and was doing his weekly radio hit, as most, NFL owners do around the country, was doing his weekly radio hit in Dallas. And they asked him, if you end up with a top five pick, could you see yourself going and drafting a quarterback? And Jerry Jones can't resist giving the most honest and juicy answer you could probably give, and said, yeah, I think that is something that we would consider, which would put Dak Prescott on the trading block, needing a new contract. The Bears get out from some contracts after this year, and say what you want about Ryan Pace, he has been aggressive in making trades to either move up in the draft or going to get a Khalil Mack type of guy. If Dak Prescott hits the trading block, or that Dallas pick hits the trading block, and you can move up into the top end of the first round of the draft to go and get your guy, I think that's something that Ryan Pace and the Bears would definitely be in the discussion to go and do.
One thing about the NFL today that I feel like has changed from the days in which the Bears were bringing in Craig Erickson and Steve Walsh and Eric Kramer and so forth, and Dave Craig, is that there's always another quarterback who's going to be available, that from year to year, you're going to be able to find someone. And that just wasn't the case, I think, even in recent history. But if you were a team in the quarterback market this year, you could get Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater, or Tom Brady. Like, those guys were available. And that will, I think, continue to be the case as more teams look at the expensive contracts and go, I don't know. Or they look at drafts that are going to be, I think, deeper with more talent as more college quarterbacks get developed and are farther ahead. This year, there's five or six guys who could be first round picks at the quarterback position. And so, you know, I think that if you're the Bears, it's smart to keep an eye on that situation, or even just look at the draft too, because maybe the guy you take late in the first ends up being pretty good. Okay. So PS5 is coming out, and I used to love to play Madden. Don't play a lot anymore. But if you were doing an all Madden team draft of just Bears and Vikings over the last 10 years, give me your top three picks between the Bears roster and the Vikings to start your Madden team with.
All right. I'm a big believer in the difference maker type of player, the guy who can flip a game on one play. I need one of those on either side of the ball. And so I look at both teams and I say, all right, who's the biggest difference maker? Who's the guy who flipped the field most often, or had the greatest ability to flip the field at any given moment in a football game? And I think when you look at the Bears, you're obviously picking from the defensive side of the football, because they haven't had that type of offensive playmaker in my life for the most part, outside of that guy who's hanging over my shoulder. Are you showing the video of this, or is this
not going to
audio?
You're pointing to Walter Payton.
I have Walter Payton over my shoulder. Other than him, we haven't had that type of guy, and he didn't play in the last 10 years, so he's not eligible. So I'm taking Khalil Mack for the Bears. Like, that's a guy who came in. They were a bad football team, Collar, and Khalil Mack instantly made them a good football team. I know Matt Nagy got Coach of the Year that year and a lot of the credit for that, but that was all defense, and that was all Khalil Mack just terrorizing quarterbacks and those quarterbacks putting the ball into the hands of Chicago Bears players. So he's a game wrecker. He changes the game on a single play at any given moment. Give me Khalil Mack on the defensive side of the football. Flip side, I'm taking Stephon Diggs on the offensive side of the football. I don't know about you. I said some not so nice things about Josh Allen when the Vikings made that trade. I was like, man, he wasn't happy with Kirk Cousins. Wait till he sees what Josh Allen is throwing out there. He's actually made Josh Allen look like a good quarterback. I still don't
think Josh Allen
is a good quarterback, but he's making him look like one at the moment. And Stephon Diggs, I think, was slightly underappreciated in Minnesota and massively underappreciated and underrated around the country when you have the discussion about wide receivers. So those are my two guys. Then we have to address the most important position on the football field. Do we not, Matthew Collar?
Guard,
we gotta go,
right?
We got to go and get a guard.
In Minnesota, that's what it is.
Always. And a fullback with a neck roll.
Yes.
But I'm going to go unorthodox and call the most important position on the football field, the quarterback. So now we're talking about quarterbacks of the last 10 years between the Bears and the Vikings. Give me Jay Cutler. I'm sorry.
I knew you'd
go there.
Give me
Jay Cutler.
I knew you'd go there.
Is he not the best quarterback of those two teams of the last 10 years?
Him and Cousins are pretty similar for different reasons. Like, they're similar to where you always would have ranked them, like 12th in the league, and they would have frustrated you, and they would have excited you at times, and they ultimately would have disappointed you many times. And I just think there's a lot alike about those two guys that it might be a tough call. Maybe if you wanted to go full like Vikings fan style, you might say Teddy there would be like the Teddy that he could have become.
Sure.
After 2015.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of the Cutler that could have become, because I'm a big believer that the Bears just sabotaged that dude, man. They put him between bad offensive lines. They never gave him great receivers to work with until his last two or three years. I got Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett, which he finally started to look like a great quarterback when they did that. Surprise, surprise. And they were changing offensive coordinators every year or two when he was here. They ruined that dude, man. So you can talk about the Teddy that could have been, and fair enough. Like, that was a gruesome injury and the guy was on his way to a really good career. But the Jay Cutler that could have been, man, I really think that guy had Hall of Fame ability. Hall of Fame ability.
Talent,
he just needed, yes. He just needed the right place to grow into that type of quarterback and never got it.
So since I don't think that the quarterbacks quite make this list, if you wanted to go most talented, I might even say that Sam Bradford was the most talented, but by even the time the Vikings got him, his legs didn't work anymore. And he still was like decent. I think I would go with Harrison Smith as the top player here, because I think safety has become an underrated position. Everyone attacks the safeties all the time. And I think he's a Hall of Fame talent. Khalil Mack, I will agree with, but if you already selected Khalil Mack and we were going back and forth, I will take Akeem Hicks as the most dominant player. And boy, is he murdered the Vikings in recent years. And if you have Stephon Diggs, then I think, you know, there's a part of me that wanted to be like Matt Forte, because he was sort of underrated and a good player, but he's not Dalvin Cook. And I understand the positional value, but I think Dalvin Cook is in a different category when he's at his best. There would be maybe a competition there between Adrian Peterson, who won MVP in 2012, if we're going last decade, and Cook. But I think I give the slight edge if I'm drafting them to Cook, because he will pass block, and that could be helpful for us.
And catch the ball out of the backfield. Right. Adrian Peterson didn't do a ton of that.
Only when the Lions game planned him to do so, for only God knows why. But that was a different rant from earlier in the week. All right. So last question for you. And I'm going to have you just answer one part of this, because I don't care about the serious reasons, but give me the most not serious reason that the Vikings have lost 16 of their last 20 in Chicago. The most pot shot theory you can come up with.
It's a city you can have a lot of fun in, Matthew Collins. Is it not? In Chicago, not a city you can go and have, like, the food, the drinks, whatever type of nightlife you're looking for. Like, whether it is, you know, the stereotypical thing that most people would think of with football players and nightlife, the strip clubs. They got some great ones in Chicago. They also, like, if you're looking for a karaoke bar, some of the best karaoke bars in the world are in Chicago. If you're looking for a nightclub, like a dance club type of environment, you got that. Like, whatever you're looking for that is going to make you not want to get up in the morning and go run into other human beings head first, full speed, you will find it in Chicago. And I think that that is which, and this was another thing that came up with the podcast that shall not be mentioned again on your podcast, because
take that, petty. Ross.
I think that this year the Vikings, maybe if that's the reason why they've struggled in Chicago before, might have their best chance to win in Chicago in a long, long time, because there ain't nothing to do. Everything is closed. Everybody's quarantined. Everything's on lockdown. There's no fun to be. Well, there isn't as much fun to be had in Chicago as there usually is. I think that might be part of the reason why.
I like it. Along those lines, I might go with the several times I've been to Chicago, I ate my face off. I just ate until I couldn't move, because there's so much good food in Chicago. So that would be another theory. Rami, always great to catch up with you. I think everyone wishes you well, so I won't bother. No, I'm just kidding.
Fair enough.
Hopefully things work out for you. And, you know, it's always fun after, you know, Vikings and Bears games, when you would walk into the studio covered in all Bears stuff with Bears pants and socks, everything else, because you're a little, so great to catch up with you. This was really fun.
Always appreciate it, Kyler. Glad to see you're crushing it with this website and this podcast, dude. So always a pleasure, man. Happy to see that things are going well with you as well, dude.
Even though sports took a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that means hiring is more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world, because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gets you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search
that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now, Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads, totals, to team and player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division championships, and futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, before we put a wrap on the show for today, I'm going to hand it over to intern Paul, who is contributing his first interview in our soul-searching efforts, where he is reaching out to reporters who cover the top quarterback prospects to bring us the latest information on several of the players that I know you guys are interested in for this upcoming draft. And so he begins by looking deep into Trey Lance. Turn it over to intern Paul.
Hello and welcome to this special skull searching segment of the Purple Insider podcast. I am Paul Hodowanik, or as many of you may know me as Intern Paul, and today we are breaking down Trey Lance. So to do that, we have North Dakota State beat reporter for Inform News, Jeff Kolpak. How are you doing today?
Hey Paul, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about Trey Lance. He's a guy that not a lot of people probably know much about. Maybe some Minnesotans know about him because he did go to Marshall High School, so maybe they have that background knowledge, but he's relatively unknown amongst the quarterbacks that are projected to maybe go in the top five, obviously much less known than Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. And so I think this will be really interesting to kind of hear about him and how he's grown. And so first, I just want to ask you, where'd he come from? I know he came from Marshall, but he obviously didn't have many offers to come to schools like Minnesota or any other big Power Five conferences. So the fact that he's going to be a top five pick or potentially is a pretty big deal. So kind of give us a sense of his background and where he came from.
Right. And in fact, I'll start off by correcting a little bit there. I think he had an offer to go to Minnesota, but as a linebacker, I think they wanted him on defense. And I could see that. He's 6'3", coming out of high school and just a very athletic, big guy. Probably be a hell of a linebacker prospect, I'm sure. But NDSU wanted him as a quarterback, and they recruited him as a quarterback. And the Bison have had a pretty good track record of late, and that certainly didn't help with Carson Wentz, the number two pick in the 2016 draft, and Easton Stick went in the fifth round a couple years ago with the Los Angeles Chargers. Now here comes three in a row, it sounds like, with Trey Lance. Literally came out of nowhere, I would, you know, on the national scope of things for sure. And here's the thing. I can't get my head around this, and it's almost difficult to do so. But for an FCS quarterback to come out early is nuts, right? Or any quarterback almost to come out early is kind of crazy. But for an FCS guy, and only after 1 year of starting to do so, is just, you know, it's off the grid, and it's weird.
Yeah, and I would assume not many people have seen Trey Lance play, having only the one season. Obviously, a remarkable season. Didn't throw an interception, 26 touchdowns, I believe. Really solid completion percentage and just good all around the board, and is really good with his legs. So for people that haven't watched him, what kind of quarterback is he? Maybe if you could compare him to someone in the NFL or someone recently, like what would the Vikings be getting if Trey Lance were to be drafted?
Well, he checks all the boxes as far as a prospect at the professional level. You know, dual threat's the thing now, right? That's why, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are so highly regarded. They can do some damage with their legs and their arm, and Trey's no different. He's got a strong arm. He's always had a strong arm, throws a nice deep ball. was pretty accurate with that, even as a redshirt freshman last year. Pretty smart. He's one of these all academic guys, so I assume he can read defenses with the best of them. That was Carson's one of his biggest attributes. Is Carson was a 4.0 and never got a B in his life. Guy was extremely smart. Is extremely smart. I think Trey's and Easton are both in that mold, or they can get to the second, third, fourth check down. Now here's the one thing about Trey, and we don't know this yet. He had a really good offensive line. I mean, his left tackle is probably going to get drafted in the top three rounds. It's Dylan Raines from Becker, Minnesota. He's got a right tackle who may be a prospect after the spring. So he had a really good offensive line. And there's times when he went back to pass last year, he could have had a ham sandwich and thrown the ball, you know, or I could got up and stretch and sat down and he could probably still have the ball in the pocket. So he had a really good offensive line. We have not really seen him under intense duress throughout an entire game. So, but I guess until we see that, we just don't know how he'll handle that.
Yeah, and I think NDSU quarterbacks, obviously we've seen a couple of them come out recently. There's always the element of who did they really play? How much does that affect him? And Vikings fans hearing the offensive line point will say, well, if he comes here, that's definitely not going to be the case. So that could raise some questions. But he, like you said, he only had one pass in 2018 when he was redshirted and then just burst onto the scene. Was that something that NDSU expected, or was this a surprise? Because they had Carson Wentz, then they had Easton Stick. It's probably not Trey Lance's fault he didn't start his first year when you have Easton Stick, a guy that I think is the most winningest quarterback in FCS history. So that's not necessarily a knock on him. But did you expect, or did the team expect for him to have as much success as he did last season?
Well, they expected him to be the guy. I mean, he was the guy since the day he was recruited. So, you know, you're going to spend 1 year as a true freshman behind Easton Stick. You're going to follow Easton's every move. You're going to watch film with him, which he did, and basically learned a ton. And he was always groomed to be that guy. Now, you know, of course, his performance, nobody would have expected that. 16-0 team. You know, he had a couple passes that probably should have been picked, but they weren't. But, you know, to go through a year without an interception, and just the damage he did against James Madison in the title game with his legs was, I think, set him apart too. He's fast. I mean, this guy can move. He is fast. He's big. He's kind of a baby-faced kid. I think he's going to get bigger yet. I remember as a true freshman, I'm looking at this kid going, yeah, he's probably like 17 years old, you know, at the time, and thinking, man, you got a lot of room to grow. So he came here 6'3". He's now 6'4". So he must have grown an inch somewhere around there. He's about 225 pounds. I think he can get to 235, no problem, 240. He's got that kind of a body. And he's just a kid. When the draft happens this spring, he's not going to be able to go and have a beer because he won't be old enough.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
yeah, that's
20 years old. So, you know, so what you're getting is a guy with incredible potential. Ideally, Paul, he'd go to a situation where he could maybe sit a little bit and learn. I mean, here's how I approach Trey Lance. You know, should he come out? Yes. Is he ready? I don't think he's ready. He's not ready for the pro level. But you could say that about a lot of guys, I guess, so they're not ready for the pro level. But when you're being mentioned as high as he is, yeah, you got to come out and take the money right now and go.
Yeah, and that would fit a situation like the Vikings, who have an expensive quarterback who most likely will be on the roster next year. Lance wouldn't have the pressure of going in right away. And that was kind of my next question, because Carson Wentz is going to be the natural comparison to him just because they're both coming out of school. They're both going to be really high picks, both from NDSU, not normally a place where people are looking for quarterbacks. Maybe now they will be. But what if you were to compare Wentz and Lance in terms of being ready, because Wentz came in and started right away, and just terms of their overall game, where are they different? Where are they similar? And how naturally are Lance and Wentz going to fit when they're just going to be compared going forward?
Wentz was obviously older. He was a fifth-year senior when he got drafted, so he had that advantage. He had the advantage of working under, and let's not forget about the NDSU quarterbacks coach, a guy named Randy Hedberg. So Trey will be his third straight quarterback that he'll have drafted. I don't know how many assistant coaches out there in the country, I don't care what level, have had that. Maybe Clemson, maybe it was somebody out there. I should probably look into that, actually. But Randy Hedberg is a guy who in the late 70s was drafted by Tampa. He's one of the first guys, had a cup of coffee in the NFL, a head coach at Division II for a little bit. But here's a guy who's just knows how to develop quarterbacks. They run a pro-style system. They huddle up. They do all these things that the NFL really likes about. And they read defenses, and they get the checkdowns. And it's not analytic, robotic quarterback. It's you got to go to the line of scrimmage, and you often sometimes have to change the play. And you got to be smart enough to do that. So NDSU develops that kind of quarterback where when they get to the NFL, this stuff isn't new to them. They can see where the safeties are. They can see linebackers inching up, and they change plays. They do it all the time at NDSU. So, I think the pros really like that in Bison quarterbacks, that you don't have to teach that. That's already been instilled into their system already. So, and Trey is right there with the best of them. I mean, and we don't know. I'm in the press box. I don't know when they're changing plays. I'm way up in the Euchre seats. But what I understand and what I hear and when I listen to Hedberg, that Trey's pretty good. He got into different sets, different pass protections, and in most cases made the right calls.
Off the field, what is he kind of like? Because the Vikings fans and Vikings players fell in love with Teddy Bridgewater. He was kind of that natural leader. Kirk Cousins has left a little bit to be desired, I think, both by players and fans in terms of just his personality. What's Lance like? Is he, from what you've heard, a leader in that locker room? And just off the field, is he more of a quiet guy, an outgoing guy? What's he like?
Well, yeah, he blocked me on Twitter lately. I don't know why. I've never written a negative word about the guy, but so I don't know what he's doing on Twitter these days. But he's a leader guy. There's no doubt. He started a Bible study class for kids over Zoom during the pandemic. I think he probably would have been a captain coming up here, eventually, if not this year, the next year, if he would have stayed around. A kid, and he led the social justice movement around campus here. So, and he put himself out there in that regard too. So, there's certainly leadership qualities there. I think he's a pretty poised kid. Here's one thing. Okay. If you're blocking me on Twitter, if I made him pissed him off somehow, I have no idea. He better figure that part of it out because, the media at the NFL level is not going to be Jeff Kopac in Fargo, North Dakota. I can guarantee you that. So it's, he'll have to adjust to that and adjust to those kind of, the scrutiny of being on a national level. But, solid character kid. Absolutely no red flags there whatsoever.
I wonder, from your perspective, how do you think him not getting a chance to play other than the one game this year just, affects his development? Because, obviously, you've talked about Easton Stick, Carson Wentz. Both were there for a really long time. Lance has only had the one year. That's probably going to be a little bit of a knock on him in terms of – I mean, a lot of quarterbacks are coming in with not that much experience, but especially a quarterback – from a small school that didn't probably have a ton of buzz last year, was supposed to get that buzz this year, and then it just didn't happen. So in terms of just development, you probably can't speak to where he would get drafted, but just from not being able to play, how do you think that could affect him?
Sure, that's a risk. I mean, and then like I said, should he go? Yeah. Is he ready to go? I don't think he's ready to go. I don't think he's NFL ready yet. Another year, this fall, ideally would have been a good deal for him. He could have seen more defenses, just what they call pictures, that's what all the quarterback coaches say. That he would have benefited from seeing more pictures of defenses. And so, will it affect him? I don't know. Nobody knows that now because we don't know. We'll never know. But, that's a risk. I mean, at quarterback, experience is a big deal. And it's too bad he didn't have this next year to, I think, really further his development and his learning curve.
Did he at any point seem like he was considering staying, or was it always, I'm going to go?
He never tipped his hand one way or the other, so we don't know. But the fact he announced it, the Bison played Central Arkansas on Saturday. And the fact he went in on Sunday, I believe, and met with the coaches and told them his decision would lead you to believe that he didn't wake up Sunday morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to turn early. I'm sure this is a decision that was made for a while now. And his dad is, he's a football guy. His dad was a very good player at Southwest State. His dad's very knowledgeable of the game. His mom was a volleyball player. I mean, these people aren't, they didn't wake up on, you know, not knowing anything either. So I think he's got some strong family guidance there, and he must have, I assume, got some pretty good NFL advice that he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken, and done deal. You know, and it's good that he decided now. It's good. You're not leaving NDSU hanging out to dry this spring because the FCS is playing this spring. And so you don't have NDSU coaches wondering, okay, is he going to be here or not? He could have waited till mid-January to make his decision by NFL rules. But the fact he made it right away, I think, is good for the school. Matt, okay, now the Bison can move on with their next quarterback, and Trey can move on with his career.
I'll end with this. This is a two-parter, but if it'll work in the NFL, why do you believe Trey Lance will be good? And then if it won't work, what do you think what goes wrong, what goes right?
Yeah, if it'll work, it's just he's a great athlete, and he's got that dual threat capability. He's got a strong arm. He's a smart kid. He's going to have to develop. He's going to have to handle. You know, we saw that last night with Ben DiNucci at Dallas. So Ben DiNucci was the title game quarterback against James Madison. The Bison played James Madison. It was Wentz versus DiNucci. Lance versus DiNucci. DiNucci looked out of, you know, he looked overmatched. And that's why Trey outshone him. Trey was the superior quarterback in the FCS title game last year. And we saw that last night. DiNucci was overmatched. Now, you know, will Trey be able just to be better as a younger quarterback when he gets there? Now, if it doesn't work, to me, it's just maybe that's a good question. I don't know. I've never seen him not work. So, you know, he was good right away. He was great last year. I've never really seen him have a bad game. So I really don't know how to answer that question, and other than some unforeseen circumstances where NFL defenses start confusing him and he doesn't have a good old line and can't hold up to the pressure. We haven't seen that. He rarely got pressured last year, you know, and when he did, he had the ability to take off and outrun everybody. So we'll see on that regard.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time. Again, Jeff Kolpak for inform.com. I'm sure Vikings fans, you should be paying attention to Jeff's work. He'll most likely be writing about Lance here upcoming for the draft, and then probably next year when whatever quarterback hasn't played yet shines and is another draft pick, because that just seems to be the quarterback mill is now running in North Dakota State. So thank you, Jeff.
You bet, Paul. Have a good day.